Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much again for allowing us to be here and fellowship with you and studying your word. I ask that you would guide us through this study and that you would open our eyes and our ears and in our heart that we may receive your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so there's a couple of things that came to mind at the very beginning is the definitions of some of these words. I kind of label this, be careful what you say because Yahweh's listening. He may give you what you don't want because of what has happened in this chapter, in the first chapter here. The word that I came across was the word they used for spying out. And that was the word tour. And it's spelled with, like it sounds almost, it's T-O-O-R, how we would say it. And it's a primitive root to meander, causally to guide about, especially for trade or, and it does say reconnaissance. Then it goes on down to say to descry, to be excellent, merchant, merchantman, search out, to seek, and then lastly, it was to spy out. I had to think about that because different translations render this as search out, spy out, to look about, to walk about, and the list goes on. They went all the way down this litany of a list here of what the word tour means. And then I had to think about, okay, so is this used elsewhere? And every place that I found, it does say usually to tour, the word tour as in to search out. But in this case here, they use the word spy. So in every case, in this first chapter here, it was that when God said to them to spy out the land. And it makes me think, so why would God tell them to spy the land out when he wants them to see how good the land is? Not to be concerned about so much what the warriors were like, what the people were dressed in, as in armament and battle spears and all the things that you would expect in war, even at that time, but to see if the land was truly as good as Yahweh said. And that was a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, 10 came back and gave a bad report. Two, Joshua and Caleb particularly, gave a report based on what Yahweh's requirements were. Is the land actually flowing with milk and honey? And they said yes. The two of them agreed that what they had seen, based on what they physically touched and handled and sampled themselves, that the land was definitely flowing with milk and honey. And yes, there were people in the land. Yes, they were dwelling in not tents, but buildings and fortified cities, but they weren't concerned about that because they believed and had a personal relationship with Yahweh, especially that of Caleb when he was pointed out later on by Yahweh. He said, his heart is what I'm looking for. His heart was like my heart. He was definitely seeing through the eyes of Yahweh and all the advantages that Yahweh's offering them, a place that had water and trees and fruit trees and grapes and they had barley and all these other things there, wheat and farmland and fishing and all this other stuff that you would need to set up communities. And they had many buildings where they could actually come in and dwell, you know. And so yes, they gave the report in favor of what Yahweh has already shown them from the time they left Egypt until that very day. He took care of their enemies. He vanquished them. They should have had no fear whatsoever going to the land. But the 10 made a statement saying, there are giants in the land. They are evil people. We appeared as grasshoppers to us in our eyes to them, and they same to them to us. They said, we're nothing more than bugs to them. They could stomp on us, but they didn't. It doesn't say they were aggressive toward them. Nobody had a fight with any of them. Doesn't say anything in the record or any of the other material that I read had any suggestion that they were warrior-like, ready to go to battle at that moment. Although when you see the end result of this, when the people finally realize that, you know, Yahweh was right, and we should have gone up. We should do this. But in every case, Yahweh gives us the opportunity, and he hears what we say, and he acts on what he hears that we're saying comes out of our own heart. And because what they said was, if only we had died in this wilderness. And Yahweh acted on that. They didn't die in Egypt, but they weren't going to get into the promised land whatsoever. This just reminds me of what Yeshua said about the marriage supper that was set up by the Father. And he set the banquet up. He got the invitations out. He got replies back. Oh, yes, we'll be there. And then come the marriage banquet, they made excuses. After excuse, saying, I can't make it there. Could you forgive me for this? But they had already the meat prepared, which is very costly, the vegetables, the staff, everything was all set. All they had to do was show up. But they did not. So he said, they will not eat of this table at all. He cut them off, and he brought in people from the highways and the byways and every aspect of life and brought them in. He says, no, there's not enough. Go and get some more. And so they went and got more people and filled the entire banquet hall. And he said, these guys are the ones who are going to eat the dinner. Be with my son and his future bride, which is a picture of us. Those who think they have possession of the land, in the end, they're going to have to relinquish their belief and turn it over to those who actually follow Yahweh 100%. So this word tour does say to spy out. But I thought, well, maybe there's another word for spy. So going to the next chapter, the next Torah, the half Torah portion in Joshua in chapter 2, the word is regal. And regal, the first couple meanings is to spy out on foot, reconnaissance mission. It's a war type thing because Joshua was getting ready to go into the land and he wanted the two spies to go in there and to spy out the land. Now, this was a definite reconnaissance mission. They had a specific goal to find out what the strongholds were, what the weaknesses were, to see what the people were thinking, to hear what they were saying. And they got a definite earful from the people there that they were very much afraid because of what God has done up until that point for Israel. Now, Rahab the harlot gave the report to the two spies. It said all the men's hearts are weak. They're failing right there. They are very much afraid. They had the whole thing locked up tight at night. There was no way in, no way out. They knew what God had done from the time they were in Egypt to the time they crossed over the Red Sea to the very moment that they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan River on this side of where we're at currently, facing to the west, is Israel. So they were getting ready to cross over. So Joshua wanted to send the spies in there at God's request to find out what was going on. What was the conditions on the ground? When they came back, they said, yes, Yahweh has this all done. We can go in there, and this is what they're doing. They're shivering in their boots. They're ready. They're acting like little girls. In this case, that's my words in there. So they were on a reconnaissance mission to search out, to survey, to explore, to do all the things that you would think a military exercise would be about. In the case that where Moses, it was to search out, to see the goodness of the land, all the wonderful, splendorous thing that Yahweh has. Be careful what you say, because God hears what you say. If you speak a bad report about anything that God is doing in your life, be prepared because God could turn that around in an instant. Just as it is in America and a lot of places around the world where they thought they were in peace and safety, now it's in constant turmoil. No one knows from one day to the next what's going to happen. From 1 hour to the next in certain parts in Eastern Europe or along the Ukraine, they don't know from 1 minute to the next what's going to happen. But they still dig their heels in. They're under judgment. And we have to be ready and willing to hear God's call for us to pick up and move to go another place that maybe he's wanting us to go to get the bride ready to come into the kingdom. That's the next phase. The bride has to be ready, adorned, pure and white. Yahweh is going to cleanse us inside and out. It's going to be better than mikvah because he's going to do it from the inside out. And he's already doing that to us who believe in his name and is following him 100%. That's in believing what the Torah says and also what is in the New Testament, what Yeshua said. That we believe in his testimony. We've seen what he has done. We handle him with our hands, and we are ready to come into his kingdom. If we just hold on and wait a little bit longer, we'll see his glory in due time. Do not be afraid. Over and over again, you hear this over, what is it, over 300 to 600 times throughout the scriptures, from the beginning to the end. Do not fear. Be not afraid. Have I not called you? I am sending you. Go and do as I called you to do. As he said to Joshua, have I not called you? Have I not sent you? And yes, he has. So we have to be ready for the call. No matter what aspect of life that we find ourselves in now, be ready for a change. But be faithful to his calling. Don't give in to what the pressures of the peer groups are around us, where they outnumber us 10 to 2. For every one of those that believe, five of them disagree. Don't be in the five that disagree. And where they met with certain death almost immediately as soon as the judgment was given by Yahweh. And the rest of them died along the way in the wilderness, grinding out day by day by day. It says in verse 2, if only we had died in the wilderness. And Yahweh says in 28, I will do to you just as I heard you say. And he gave them the words back. You will die in this wilderness. Be careful what you say. Be earnest. Be desiring to do the good things that he said. To be upstanding and righteous in his eyes. Be as David. Yes, he had flaws, but even his flaws, he still honored God in all that he did. Yes, he had some downfalls for sure, but in the end, Yahweh says he was a man after my own heart because he loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. And that's what is requiring of us, that we love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. In chapter 14, so this didn't stop with this thing saying, let us die in this wilderness. And he said, okay, I'll let you do that. They grumbled and moaned against Moses and Aaron all that night. And they were ready to stone them. Don't get to that point. Check yourselves. Is your heart righteous before God? Do as he says. Believe in him, because he's already said, do not fear, I am with you. Go with you, and I'm with you. So when the children of Israel said, oh, well, maybe we were wrong, and we need to go up, because he said for us to go up. And then Moses said, don't do this. You're disobeying God again. You can do the right thing at the wrong time and be totally wrong and die in the process, because you didn't do it when he said. That's why I stressed many times before, do what he says when he says to do it right then and there, because it could save your life and the lives of your friends and family. If you don't do what he says, they could die in the process. Be diligent. Listen to what he says. Read what he says and do what he says when he says it. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Don't grumble against him. Be of good courage. Be in faith and do as he says. So in 15, something caught my eye today as we're reading it, was in 22, and if you err and have not done as the commandments, which was unintentional sin, he gives us a chance. He gives us, this is great. Even if we mess up and we're on the wrong calendar, if the Sanhedrin, the last Sanhedrin that met, if we're wrong and we're doing because they said to do it, there's a sacrifice for it. There is something that we can do if we find out we all messed up. If we all messed up, then he says, okay, I'll forgive you of that because you were doing this in ignorance. How many times have we done something and we said, well, if I'd only known all the facts, I wouldn't have done what I did. But because we're only see, as Paul says, in a glass darkling, we don't know what the future holds. We only know what we see today in front of us. And if we are not certain, our job and our responsibility is to ask him. The thing that comes to my mind is when Joshua was encountering the kings that come, well, the rulers that came from the north of him, unknowing to him there was a next town they were going to conquer. They said, oh, we've been on a far trip. When we left, our sandals were brand spanking new. Our clothes were brand new. Our food was hot out of the oven. And look, our wineskins are in such a bad shape, I had to put duct tape on them just to hold it together long enough so I can make this trip. So in this sense, don't be caught off guard. Listen to what he says. Do what he says. Ask of him if you don't know. And wait for the answer. As Jehoshaphat had to wait for the answer, and Yahweh says, look, this is not your battle, this is mine. You won't have to do anything, but just believe in what I say. And he conquered all that. They started fighting against themselves. The enemy started fighting against themselves. They were in confusion. God's pretty good at that. But we just have to be patient. We just have to wait and what he's doing. In the times ahead, there's going to be those seeking our very lives because we don't believe the way they do. We confess what we believe, and that is that Yeshua is God in the flesh, and that Yahweh is the King of all kings. But none else. Yeshua is our master and our savior. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we follow. And there's nothing that we do if we mess up that we can't be forgiven for. But we have to ask him. Okay, so in 32, and while your sons and while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Shabbat. What does it say about the Sabbath? Don't do any regular work. Don't make a new fire. Don't go thinking you're going to find manna on this day because you're not going to find it. But he was actually going in the process of making a fire. His heart was against what Yahweh wanted to do from the very beginning. He caused his own problem. All he had to do was just wait for the next day, for that night. Then he could have gone and made a fire and cooked his meal and just waited. So, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do it that his way on his time schedule and not wait on God. So instead of resting, he was working. And so therefore, he created his own problem. He got arrested, bound, waited till Yahweh answered them, and he said, stone him. And he acted on his own, or else his family would have gone with him. Another point I was trying to get to earlier was on, by saying the things, don't be surprised if you say something that's inspired by Yahweh, by the Spirit, and you say it, it comes out of your mouth and it happens, the very same thing happens in the next Torah portion. Moses says these words to Korah and his 250 leaders that were with him, that what if God did something new and he opened the ground below you and swallowed you up whole and closed over you? And as soon as he said the word, it happened. Another instance was when Joshua was in the middle of the battle and the sun was coming, it was setting, well, not setting, but it was coming in where it was in the setting position, getting ready to go down, and the moon was rising. He said, sun, stop in your tracks, moon, stop in your tracks. And it says that this is the first time that Yahweh obeyed the voice of man. And he stopped the sun and the moon from going through the whole process for a day and a half. And they said, well, where's your proof at? Well, in certain areas around in this area, in the Middle East and elsewhere on this side of the globe, they said they had an incredibly long day. It lasted a day and a half by their records. And on the other side of the globe, they said we had an incredibly long night. And it was like, so Yahweh actually stopped the earth from spinning long enough for Joshua to get the victory over the enemy. Don't doubt. Just believe and do as he says. Speak the words that he's telling you to speak, and God will carry out his mission. And that is coming on us pretty quick, that when Yahweh lets all this go, he's the one that's holding it all back. He's the one holding it all together. But when he lets it go, he says, okay, you guys said you want me, don't want me around? Fine. I will not intervene in what you're doing. sadness for that country. In verse 38, speak to the sons of Israel and command them that they would make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations to put them upon the fringes, a border of ribbon of blue. I find it interesting that when something happens, Yahweh has to give us something to remind us of what we have done, to remind us of our of the commands. Because what he said, you to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself. If Yeshua said, if you do these two things, it summed up all the law and the prophets and everything that's associated with them, and you don't have to worry about the Torah at all. You just do what he says, when he says to do it, and follow through. It's Shabbat. It's the feast days. It's this. We may not understand it 100% of what he wants us to do, but I tell you, there's coming a time where we're going to need to listen to what he says. If he says, ask the ground to produce potatoes, do it, and the potatoes will come up. Ask the ground to produce this, do it. Just like Elijah told the widow, and she asked, what am I to do? My husband died and left me a bunch of bills. I can't pay him. They're going to take my son. He said, do you have oil? Yes. Do you have vessels? If you don't have vessels, go borrow them. Go fill every vessel in your house. And when you fill them to the top, let me know. And she filled them, and that crucible of oil that she had, just enough for probably their last meal. Don't know. Doesn't say anything about the flour. It was just the oil. It was just enough. And it filled all the jars in her house, all the things. And then neighbors, she got jars from there. And her son was there. And she says, go and get more. Well, there is no more. I got it from all of her neighbors, all the jars. And she said, it is enough. And she went to the prophet. And she said, go and sell, and you'll have money left over. Your bills will be paid, and you won't go to jail, and you will have enough money to make it through. We just have to have faith. That's the hardest word in the vocabulary that we talk about, is faith, because we see with our eyes, we hear with our ears, and we feel with our hands, the things that we handle in this world, and yet we need to see with our spiritual eyes. We need to believe in what he says, because like I said, there's coming a time we need to listen, and we need to start now. If he's saying to get out, go. If he's saying go here, go there. If he says turn here, turn there, because you don't know. Maybe somebody's broke down along the highway. This is the thing. Carry out what he says to do, because you don't know if you're going to be saved in your life or somebody else's, especially after the decision that was just handed down yesterday. He's talking about all the turmoil because of a decision the Supreme Court made. This is all pre-planned. It's a trap. Don't listen to it. Just continue on. Do what he says. Listen to the voice of God. If he's telling you, don't go down this road, don't do it. If he's saying, turn right, turn right. Don't deviate. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Just follow his commands. You need to learn to listen to him now. Because if you don't, it could mean, again, your life or somebody else's. And that concludes what I had today.